You should explain, since your move, you've been on a sort of path of nostalgia and you've been diving back into your youth.
I have my electric youth, courtesy of Debbie Gibson. So you have the benefit of literally being Peter Pan, Jake, because you don't age.
That's not true. That's not
true. I'm going to, well, okay.
You've aged me at least 10 years since we got
Yeah, you're probably not.
You have raised 5 children. That takes a little bit of a toll on you.
No, I think they took less of a toll than my ex-husband.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Shit. I mean, let's call it what it is there.
Oh, I have an idea for the next Love Lust Raw.
I love how we're already playing the next one. We're not done with this one.
Go big or go home. The information shared in this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as professional legal advice or a substitute for seeking professional legal advice. I'm Michelle Locke, and this is Love, Lust, Raw.
The hat and the glasses, you cannot wear that in the next segment with our guest.
Oh, I won't.
Please.
I won't.
I just can't take it. You know, it's like I look away for like 3 seconds and I look up and I don't know if I can watch. Sorry. I'm sorry.
You guys, for those of you watching on YouTube, poor Jake, like I'm always very put together, very serious. And the minute I put this on, Jake's like, I just can't look at you. Jake's like, what? Why, no.
You should explain, since your move, you've been on a sort of path of nostalgia and you've been diving back into your youth.
I have my electric youth.
Your electric youth.
Courtesy of Debbie Gibson.
I mean, it actually looks good. Don't get me wrong, but it's just funny. Like you're so taken so seriously in the world, and that this is like, sorry, I can't take it. I can't take it.
But you know, that's what people don't see is this side of me.
They actually don't.
I'm truly a lot of fun. I'm funny.
You are.
But okay. December 10th, we're going to Hawaii to go see Debbie Gibson in concert.
Is that like a company field trip?
Sure. Lockstar Media, let's go. The Hawaii Theater, 8 p.m., December 10th. Debbie Gibson, be there or be square.
You obviously lived it, and apparently today you're still living it.
Why the hell not? Who's going to stop me?
Michelle, have you exited the 80s? I have a really important question for you.
I have exited the 80s because I don't wear blue eyeshadow. I'm not to pull the pictures, but I had the bangs.
Yeah.
And I know you know the bangs. And anyone that lives in the 80s had the bangs. And I had the awful glasses to go with it. And then I was so cool, y'all, that I wore a headgear to school in like 6th grade. And I thought wearing a headgear to school made me really cool. That probably explains a whole hell of a lot about me.
Aquanet was probably on...
Before it was banned for destroying the ozone?
Yeah, it was on consistent spray, like constant spray at your house. You probably had an automatic sprayer so you didn't have to hold down the button on the top.
Do you remember how flammable Aquanet was?
100%. Yeah.
Like that you could literally create a torch with your Aquanet and like put a lighter there and then spray it. Flames everywhere.
Many a house burnt down from that experiment.
Oh, I don't have any doubt that's true. Do you know that you can still find Electric Youth perfume?
No, I did not know that. I did not know that. Uh-huh. I wonder if Debbie Gibson gets money from every purchase.
God, I hope she does, y'all, because Debbie Gibson, her, Tiffany, Amy Grant, who was the other one that kind of defined my, like, late 80s?
Taylor Dane.
Oh, man, I loved her lips. Because they were, like, real lips. They weren't, like, before people got their lips done.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like Taylor Dane and the natural lips.
I don't comment on that, but the way you set that up, it's like I'm not.
She did.
No, she
Taylor
did.
Dane,
she did.
Man,
beautiful woman.
She was, and she still is stunning. Oh my God! For those of y'all listening, anyone else remember Zima?
No, they don't, because you have a younger listener base. Your listener base is like 25 to 34.
No, you guys don't know Zima. It was the malt liquor.
I know Zima. Zima.
It was the first thing I got drunk off of at 17. Zima alcoholic prep. I'm pulling up Wikipedia
cool
right
bottles.
Now.
It had cool bottles, like clear bottles.
It tasted like, oh, it was made by Coors. I didn't know that.
Mm.
It was introduced in 1993.
I remember the summer of 93. It came out.
And it was marketed as the alternative to beer. It is now often referred to as a cooler with 4.7 to 5.4% alcohol by volume. It ceased production in October 2008. It's returned!
You're not going to drink it.
I'm ordering it.
All right, go ahead and enjoy. Smoke up, Johnny. There you go. Oh, that's a pretty cool bottle. Gabby's like, Michelle, love the trip down memory lane. But is there any way you could get a potential sponsor in this century? Is that something we can work on, like products that haven't been sitting on a shelf since 1993?
I called Zima, on the shelf anymore.
And they don't have a website.
They were started being produced in Japan again in 2023. So we have my Axl Rose.
You like the Bad Boys, I see.
The Bad Boys. Even article. And I think, was it like Teen Bop magazine? What was the teen magazine at this time?
There were Tiger Beat. There was...
Tiger Beat.
Is the only one I remember.
Y'all remember John Bon Jovi? Again.
So Michelle, you were looking at these magazines. You were cutting out these pictures. You actually took the time to paste them in a book, which hasn't been done in this century. What inspired you to commit to these men in the photos and ultimately want to put them into this book? And what did this book serve for you?
Oh God, I don't know. I was like sixth grade.
But what did it mean?
Stupid.
Like, what did it mean? Like, you're like looking from Axl Rose to Chad Allen. You're like, let's really,
my NKOTB.
Did you kiss those pictures? Like, put lipstick?
No,
on
I didn't do that.
There were girls that I knew that they'd have posters in their wall and they would kiss them and then put the lipstick.
Why would you kiss paper? I get visual aids.
It's true. This is not a joke.
It's not a joke. I get visual aids. Okay, that makes sense. Visual aids. But why would you kiss paper? It's not the person. Oh, and this is y'all my trip to Canada, like in fifth grade.
Wow.
To go visit my grandparents. That was the Canadian Mint. And even then I started like writing my terrible handwriting back then. Oh yeah. So this move has brought back some nostalgia. It made me feel old and it made me feel really sad. And I even wrote on Axl Rose. I don't know if you can see, but I put a heart and put like the, I said, what is it? God, what does it say? Coolest guy, great lead singer. Oh God, I'm trying to find my Debbie Gibson picture because this is where the whole Debbie Gibson thing came up. But oh, okay, this shows how bad it was. It's before the fall down of Millie Vanilli.
I noticed how you converged, like you had Jeremy Light and Millie Vanilli on the same page. That rarely happened in that era. Like you really had no criteria for who makes your pages. That's what I thought was fascinating.
Kip Winger.
Oh my God. Okay, this is the song, She's Only 17.
Which so you could not make anymore. I even have also found in this little thing, my College Board things from 1989 and 1990. And then, it gets better. We're breaking out the toys. I found my Care Bears.
Oh, look at that.
I have a whole, that's like the only childhood toy I still have left are my Care Bears. Anyways.
You and I couldn't be more opposite. I think I have more childhood. I think I rebought a lot of childhood toys in the early aughts that I still have in storage. Like, I actually do collectibles, Star Wars figures and things like that, like unopened.
I don't have any collectibles.
You really kind of navigated through adulthood pretty quickly. I think you abandoned childhood and you abandoned your electric youth very early. And I think I'm still living in a Peter Pan mode, but not in the emotional irresponsibility way of how they talk about Peter Pan, like dating and relationships, but in a way that I've bathed my life in nostalgia. Whereas to you, it's a chapter that's in these scrapbooks and these glasses and hats.
You have the benefit of literally being Peter Pan, Jake, because you don't age.
That's not true. You've aged me at least 10 years since we got
Yeah, you're probably not.
But your new look keeps me feeling young.
You know, whatever I can do to take some of that, you know, pressure off you that I really just kind of come bearing down on.
I think I've aged mentally, but maybe not physically. I haven't aged as much physically, but I think emotionally I have. And I think mentally.
Yeah, but You look like you're 30.
That's not true.
Okay, you've got, meet Jake in person. And for those of us that are the same age as Jake, it's like, you son of a bitch.
I look younger, but also remember this. I gave up drinking 10 years ago. I don't eat meat. I exercise, but also.
Okay. Well, I'm not giving up meat. Alcohol, fine.
In your defense, I hate to say it like this, but you have raised 5 children. That takes a little bit of a toll on you.
No, I think they took less of a toll than my ex-husband.
Well, that's for sure. Shit. I mean, let's call it what it is there.
I think he took a huge toll. But I will tell you this. If you look at me now versus 2 years ago, I think I actually look like younger now than when you and I first met.
You know what? You carry yourself differently. Your spirit is lightened and you do look actually younger. That's not even a joke. I think that's really true. Let's talk about some of the things that you've been sharing online. You've been very open with commentary about a lot of clips, a lot of things in the news when it comes to this, like stuff that's outside of the 80s, basically, but things that are actually relevant and current. What are some of the things you want to extend your commentary on? Some of those clips that you've been recently commenting on or sharing?
I haven't done a commentary on that I really want to is poor Brittany. I think, as you all know, she got arrested for DWI, but Brittany got busted for a DWI or driving under the influence, whether it was alcohol or some other substance or a combination, who knows? And only her people know, and the prosecuting attorney know. That being said, she's gone to rehab, probably long overdue. And I would suspect she's probably in a dual diagnosis program to deal with whatever alcohol, or I'm sorry, whatever addiction issue she has, as well as whatever underlying mental health condition feeds what she's got going on. And I think, Jake, I told you the story that I went to go see her perform live. This was years ago. This was before COVID. And this was at Formula One out here in Austin. So this was in 2018, 2019, maybe. And when she performed, it was like the saddest thing I've ever seen. Like, I actually left, and I've loved Brittany for a very long time. I always work out to her, her music. But when I saw her perform, she was clearly mentally ill, like clearly, clearly mentally ill. It was so bad that I actually left the concert early because I just couldn't. It was awful watching her up there. Like, she was clearly being put out there to make money and without any regard for her mental well-being. And so now that she's gone through the whole, you know, Free Britney, which I think was, and I've commented on this, I think was a disservice to her. It's sometimes when social media viral things are not done for the best interest of the actual person. And now she's back to getting some help. So I'm hoping it helps because poor thing. I mean, anyone watched her Instagram, you could see she was just going off the rails and just down the drain. And I know from my perspective, I was like, man, if someone doesn't intervene, she's going to end up dead.
Well, she exhibited signs of mental health crises very early on in her career. There were things that were exhibited very quickly after she rose to fame. We're talking about like the early aughts, you know, sort of acting out in public. And I think a lot of times people would categorize that as, well, the pressures of fame or this or that. But this was obviously somebody who was dealing with some pretty severe mental crises. And the problem is that when you have so many people making money off one person, as an enterprise or industry, they need to keep that machine working. It's almost like the person who's driving the machine isn't really taken into account. It's what they can provide for the others around them. And at the time, we didn't see that the way we do now. Like, I think you can kind of see that a lot more clearly. But I think that also, too, is that artists have been exploited, whether it be financially or publicly or through their associates, or even through the public so much, that now it's exposed and we're kind of seeing the back channeling or seeing sort of what's behind the curtain, whereas before we were not really privy to that. And I think social media has a lot to do with that in terms of outing people, in terms of outing bad actors and people who are nefarious that are ultimately wrapped up in people's camps, whether they accept them or not. It's just part of the price you pay to become a celebrity, where I think that now a lot of people are taking the reins on their own. But we also see how that it goes bad. Like, when you have people that are running their own industries and their own camps without professional management, they can easily spiral as well. So
it's a hard line to toe. And really, Brittany, and I know there's lots of other oh, singers and performers are the same thing, that they really create a business entity in and of themselves. I mean, think about Taylor Swift and the Eras Tour. Think about how many people that particular tour either employed, benefited from. I mean, that was a business machine. And I'm guessing that tour probably had a bigger GDP than some small countries.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it becomes an absolute machine that it's, but I guess the converse is true. And that's what I like about watching Taylor is that you can do it all, but you have to have the right people around you to ensure that you're okay, right? You can't just have yes people. Like, you got to have someone that'll say, no, don't do that. Although I don't know that Taylor much needs of that anymore anyways, because she really, I think, has a good head on her shoulders. But if you are subject to having mental health issues, I think that kind of fame and pressure only exacerbates it.
I'm a little confused. Are we talking about Taylor Swift or Taylor Dane? Because I don't know what era.
Taylor Swift, but Taylor, Dwayne.
Taylor Dwayne.
The Rock Johnson.
Taylor, remember Dwayne Wayne from...
Dwayne Wayne. Oh, my God. World? Wait, I'm wearing the same kind of hat Dwayne Wayne wore.
You pretty, that hat has made its rounds in the film and television.
I didn't even think about Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Wayne.
Dwayne. Oh, I like Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wade is a basketball player.
Oh, see, I don't know.
Michelle, are you in or are you out? Come on now.
I think it depends on the day. I don't know enough about sports. I know enough to get myself into trouble. Oh, I have an idea for the next Love, Lust, Raw.
I love how we're already playing the next one. We're not done with this one. So, Michelle, some of the cases that you cover and have covered, you've covered 5,000 cases. Some of them have had happy outcomes. Other ones have been division wars. That brings up a really interesting question I never thought about. You know, because I deal with stalking survivors and people who have been victims of what they used to call revenge porn is now called image-based abuse, where sexually explicit material is used against an ex in order to shame them, in order to cause them harm, damage, reputational, or anything along those lines. When it comes to content that's created within a marriage, let's say, photos, videos, explicit material, how often have you seen the couples fight over not only who gets to possess the content, because generally they'll probably both have it or at least access to it, but also the ability or inability to share that beyond this. And this is assuming somebody's not a creator or somebody who is not a, it's not an OnlyFans couple. I'm talking about just anyone who wants to use their devices for explicit material.
So I think in those particular cases, what we will often do is like mutual injunctions, some kind of like, if it's used, here are your damages. I mean, you can, in those kinds of cases, really put in some injunctions to kind of limit the disclosure. The problem is you can't stop someone from being an asshole who wants to be an asshole. And so if they're disclosing that type of information without your permission, I think it's still a criminal offense. Even in Texas, it is. I still know it is revenge porn in Texas. If you are disseminating information, pictures, et cetera, of your former significant other and you don't have their specific permission to disclose it, I think you're running afoul of the law, period. I think so. Do we address it? Can we address it? Yes. I've had cases where the court has issued orders that the material be destroyed within so many days and then proof provided to either counsel that it has been destroyed. So there are ways that the courts actually do address it if it becomes an actual issue in cases. I don't know that it comes up as often, at least in some of mine, and that's only because usually both people don't want that stuff being put out there. Like most, even people that fight over custody and other issues and have knockdown, drag out fights over those things will, I think, still keep some of those things private, because the last thing you want are some of those images, ideas, kinks, whatever y'all have coming out in the public. I mean, as modern as our society is, I think we are still in America at the very heart, very puritanistic in some of our views and ideals, and people get shamed for having different ideas of what is not necessarily over sexual. Or I just think we're pretty conservative in our views now. Because if you go watch TV in Europe and their commercials, totally different than what's on our TVs.
Well, I think to your point, I think there's a public conservative perspective and then there's a private non-conservative perspective. And I think there's a lot of people who do things in private that they would never want to come out in public.
Oh, yeah.
You can judge that or rate that however you want. Not everything's nefarious, obviously. But I think that when you find things like, you know, even to flip the script on this, when you take couples that actively create content to put it out there for economic means, right? I know that during the beginning of the pandemic, OnlyFans really took off then because there were a lot of people who could not make money. And couples decided to get together and say, okay, we're going to publish this account. We're going to create this content. So that content actually does become a commodity in terms of that. And if that couple does split up, you know, you've got a whole bunch of things. You've got things, well, they've already put the content out, but they can repurpose it. But then if they get divorced, who has the rights? We're getting into an era where people really do understand when you put something out there or do something or take something or snap something, you really can't get rid of it if it's digital. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like anything, you just said the court needs evidence of destroyed. Yeah, you can destroy it off the device. You can destroy it off the cloud. But you really have to have somebody forensically who knows what they're doing to really even understand if it can be investigated and solved, if that information has been copied, right? And, you know, God forbid it actually gets online before that.
And do you know how expensive those people are to use?
Like it's like a whack-a-mole. You can't like you a whack-a-mole. Go, no, you how many cease and desist can you send?
So we talked about Brittany. Let's now talk about Blake and Justin. I love this particular development for a couple of reasons in their case, because for those of you who haven't paid attention, tune into my first couple episodes of Love, Lost, Law, where I talk about Blake and Justin, break it down into two different episodes about their litigation and what gave rise to it. So when cases go through the system, there are what we call dispositive motions that are filed. And a dispositive motion, in layman's terms, is a motion that is designed to get the case dismissed in its entirety, right? So it's a way to narrow down claims, get rid of frivolous claims, get rid of frivolous lawsuits. I mean, there is a purpose for them. And about every kind of litigation, civil litigation there is, you will have a, they're usually called motions for summary judgment or whatever they're called in your particular jurisdiction, but they're motions to dismiss the case, basically. And that's what happened in one of their lawsuits, which I think their big one, which was there were competing, or there at least Justin had filed motions to dismiss portion of Blake's claims. And the court granted some, but not all. And the distinction about that is what the court found, at least on some of their claims, there wasn't enough evidence to meet the legal standard or to continue that claim to jury trial. However, the court found that on some of her claims, there were enough. And so what you see on the two respective camps is Justin's side saying, this is fabulous, this is a vindication that shows that her claims are meritless, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're completely ignoring the fact that part of her claims are still alive and still going to trial. What Blake is doing is what I would do as her attorney, which is say, yes, some of the claims were dismissed. Okay, but we still have these and we are still looking forward to our day in trial. And so I think there's been, to some extent, a misapplication of what occurred from the court by Justin's camp. And that, to me, kind of goes back to when we talked about it in the two episodes about my views on that. Because I remember, Jake, at the very beginning, I was very much Team Justin until I did the two episodes. And I never thought I would be Team Blake, and I am. And this turn of events with the litigation and his attorneys trying to spin it as, well, we were vindicated, all of our claims are gone, is just simply not accurate. Some of them were, but a lot of times in litigation, you throw all the spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks, because some claims will stick, some claims won't stick. And also, some claims that you think may stick at the beginning of litigation, you find out through the course of litigation that there's no evidence to support it. So, of course, that's going to happen to some extent, because not always does the evidence through discovery pan out to what you thought it was going to be. So, I mean, it's just kind of the normal course of litigation that Justin's team is, I think, overusing to try and paint the picture a particular way.
Now, that's fascinating, the way that you broke this down. I think that it's interesting how much information just keeps coming out, but it's really not because they're speaking out on the matter, right? Nobody's really granting interviews in that camp. Okay, we're getting stuff as it filters out through hearsay, through the courts, through different tabloids, you know, social media speculation. But it's very interesting how little they say and how much we know about it in this case, because it's
that's what happens when it's in the court of public record,
right?
When you can get transcripts, it's really easy to find out what's actually going on and what's not going on. And Jake, don't forget, December 10th, Hawaii, Debbie Gibson, be there, be square.
You know, if you keep promoting this, you might become an ambassador for her, so keep going.
Done, son. In case anyone was wondering why I'm wearing this hat and these particular glasses, is because I'm channeling my youth and I'm channeling some Debbie Gibson. And guess what? She's going to be in Hawaii, in Honolulu, specifically on December 10th at the Hawaii Theater. Be there, be square, because I know I'm dragging Jake along to go with me. Aloha. Everyone should embrace their electric youth. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Love, Lust, Raw. Want to reach out or find out more about what's going on with me? You can reach me below on my social media platforms at Attorney Michelle Locke. You can also send an email to hello@michellelocke.com. Just remember, Michelle is spelled with one L, and you can thank my mother, Margot, with no T for that. Have a great one.